Morning, Rabbi Isai. So last week we were in the middle of the 21st Cheshbon HaNefesh of the Chayvos HaLevavos, a very amazing one, where the Chayvos HaLevavos develops the idea that a person has to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh how high he could possibly go. And the heights are really unlimited. And the formula, of course, this is such a cliche. Unlimited, unlimitability, heights, all these words are so worn out. They're the stuff of commencement exercises and graduation speeches. You can go so high and you can go so far, and only your dreams will limit you. You can go as high as your dreams and aspirations. But the Chayvos HaLevavos gives this concept much more body and explains it and bases it on psukim, that if a person will do the basics of any discipline that is required of him or that he undertakes, after he masters the basics, the normative functions of that particular activity, then he will certainly merit a gift of new ideas, insights, inventions, ingenuity, which nobody else in the world ever thought of. That's the nature of the world. So the Chayvos HaLevavos based himself in a dogma, this we left off with last week. He says if a person will engage in architecture, and for that purpose he will learn the basics of mathematics and of design. After he masters the basics, then the Rabbeinu Shalom, HaBoyrei Noisim by Das, the Rabbeinu Shalom gives him new Das, to be Mamzi, to invent, Shiurim Nifloyim Umalacha Adina, incredible new designs and engineering ability to actually bring those designs to fruition and embellish those designs. And it's doimek kemat l'nevuah meisel l'kim, it's almost nevuah. So the architect can be a navi, a goyish architect, not a Jewish architect. Goyish architect. You look at certain, again, look at the architecture of the world. Where does it come from? Where do these incredible ideas come from? You didn't learn this in school. In school, they didn't give them these ideas. Where did this architect come up with this fantastically beautiful concept? Every artist, all music. And he says in all chachmas, a person is mismaster the muda. When a person dedicates himself to his studies, he will find in his heart afterwards a koyach ruchni that no human being, he says, can possibly put into him. That no teacher in the world can teach you this. You can go to college, university, to music school, to architect school forever, and it won't help. You go to medical school, you'll never. No doctor, no teacher can give you this new procedure. How did this heart surgeon come up with this new procedure? It's all a gift from the Rabbeinu Shalom. As Eov says, "Ochei ruachi be'enoish, v'nishma shadai tevinen." This is the key pasuk we left over last week. There is a spirit in man. Where does the spirit of creativity come from? Nishma shadai tevinen, the soul, invested by Shaddai, God's name Shaddai tevinen, will give him to understand. And this is the middle of this meditation number 21, and this is a very important meditation, because what the Chayvos HaLevavos is telling us really is that a person has to have a new self-definition, that we are our neshamas and not our bodies. The real struggle between the Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, Yiddishkeit calls the Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. This is what Yiddishkeit calls it, but in English, that we are our bodies. Yeah, well, there's some divine spark in us, perhaps. Yeah, of course, we believe in God. Yitzhar will say, you can believe in God. He can allow that and still perform his mischief. But we are essentially our bodies, and what we see is what we are. Nothing more than that. And the entire day, the Yitzhar engages us in... He's talking to us all the time. He's talking all the time and trying to block out the divine communication which comes from a different place. The neshama is speaking to us all day also. Mamash, the whole day is like two radio stations, each one trying to jam and interfere with the other one. So the guf, the Yetzirah, is trying to convince us that we are bodies. And if we are a body, number one, if I'm a body, I have so many needs for my body. And once I'm a body, so then I'm in competition with all other bodies. Because I'm finite, and the resources of the world are finite. So there's a law of the jungle, and I have to make sure to be more successful than somebody else. And there's a competition, so I'm jealous. And of course, I have to do nasty things, even have to steal and lie in order to keep hold of my turf. Come a body. If it's a world of bodies, then you and I are separate. And even I'm separate from God. I believe there's some God, there's some spiritual being, but I'm a body. So I'm a body, you're a body, God's someplace out of there. The world of bodies is this world. This is where all the action is. We're not preparing for a different world. All of our spinning our wheels and wasting our time and doing the wrong thing comes from the concept that I am my body. And the Yetzer Hara is convincing this day and night, night and day, and he makes us crazy about this. And that's where all the Midas Ra's come from. And the Neshama, which is really what we are, which was around long before there was a body, and which will be around long after the body dies and long is gone, the neshama says, "Hold it! That's not who you are. I am you, and the neshama is high above the body, and the truth is, according to even our understanding of neshama, it is the nefesh bahami that's inside of us. What's inside of us, which gives us life, the spark of life, is not even called neshama; it's nefesh, and there's also a ruach." But neshama is not inside of us. Neshama is not inside of us. And that Nefesh HaChaim speaks about it at length. The neshama is always above man. And therefore, no matter what we do, we cannot be pogim our neshama. The neshama cannot be mutilated, molested, undermined, hurt, tainted, contaminated by anything we do. If we do something wrong which the neshama is unhappy about, the neshama just runs away from us and goes and hovers higher above us and stays away from us. It is the nefesh, when it speaks about Kares in the Torah, it says, V'nichrasa nefesh ahi. It is the nefesh habahami, which we share with cows, parakeets and giraffes, lizards and toads and turtles, and cockroaches. That nefesh habahami, that's what's inside of us. And that is Kares. We can cut it off, we can hurt it. The nefesh, which literally means nefesh, comes to rest in this world, that we can influence, that we can impact on. We can impact on the nefesh. So if a yid was really in the right place, if our minds were really where they should be, so we should look at ourselves every day that I'm walking to shul, so my neshama is hovering, me as I'm the neshama, and I'm observing my body walking to shul. If I was really where I belong, my brain would be with my neshama, and I would say, I'm a neshama. My job is neshama. The neshama is a bus driver, and he sits in a high vantage point, this bus driver. Actually, he's a shtickle remote control. You might even say better. Maybe even the better metaphor is like NASA remote control. Because the bus driver's in the bus, and the neshama's not inside the bus. The neshama's not inside the body. So I'm NASA space control, and I'm controlling this missile called the body. But it's not me, I'm not inside. So therefore, if the fellow from NASA, if this missile should blow up, Nothing to do with me. The fellow in NASA is not affected. He has been hurt. It really doesn't make a difference. He tried his best. All his job is to try the best he can do. If another missile goes and blows up this missile, another spaceship bangs into this spaceship, a meteorite bangs into it, something goes, an O-ring goes wrong in the Challenger, and the thing blows up. The fellow at Space Control, I didn't even build it. My job was to guide it as best as I could. And I guided it. I did my job. My job was to follow the code. I followed the code. The code's written. The book called the Torah Code. And I'm writing, I'm making this spaceship go according to the code. And what happens? That has nothing to do with me. Good or bad, it makes no difference. I did my job. I will get paid. I will get my bonuses because I did my job. It's a superlative job. If the thing blows up, that's somebody else, someplace else, the building plan. I don't know where they build those missiles. Someplace else. Go to Boeing or Martin Marietta, maybe. They build them. I'm not sure who builds them. But it's not my problem. I was here to guide that rocket ship. I did a superlative job. I did a great job. And I'm the only person, this is me and my rocket ship. I have no problem over here. I'm out of it. So if a person would have the right hashgafa, he would realize that he is mamish on the neshama, and the body is a separate entity. The body is a separate entity. Therefore, whatever happens to the body doesn't affect the mood. Because that's what shayach, how's even shayach the concept of the geshem shem varchem ala ra, ala tov and varchem ala ra. Like we bless God for the bad, for the good, we bless God for the bad. That's only if I can. So the body is suffering. How can you even ask? It's beyond, it's not fair. How can you even demand of people? How can the Yiddish guy make such a demand, such a principle, which is codified, that Geshem, Shemavorachem, Alatov, Kach, Mavorachem, Alara, that just that we blessed Hashem, thank you for letting me win the lottery for $1 million, therefore thank you Hashem that my entire family went up in the Holocaust? How the child, it's beyond human capacity. It's true. It's where that demand is made on the neshama, and the neshama is out of this world, and the neshama is a fragment of God that's just hovering over this world, and every fragment has a name to it. They told you yet in the shorish of the neshama you have shame, so we have a name. Hashem gave a name to every fragment. It's not the body, so it doesn't make a difference. Of course, we can't. This sounds very bizarre because we have not even begun to separate the neshama from the body. But the whole Chavis Levavis, the whole Avodas Hashem is that. Unfortunately, we don't hear it in those terms usually, but this is what it's all about. The whole Yisoid is, Hey, Ochein Ruach Yibenosh. In man there's a Ruach. But Nishma Shadei Tevinein, this is exactly what the Pasuk means. Whereas the man is called Ruach. Ruach and Nefesh work together. That's the lowest form of life, to be above the vegetable world. But Nishmas Shaddai Tevinein is Neshama that comes from God Shaddai that gives us understanding. And our understanding of what's going on should be on the Neshama level. And the Neshama is detached from the body. Now, obviously, from talking to you on a Sunday morning, even though Zer Shua is a very special Sunday morning, about this, it's not going to get into our heads so quickly. And it'll be a very nice shiur. You might even want to hear the tape. But this is not going to make that much of a ratio in our lives, myself included. This is a meditation that has to be reviewed again and again and again. And that's exactly what the Chozo is saying. Of course we can do much more than our Yecholes. The whole meditation is that a person can do much more than he has been programmed to believe he can do. Much more. So when you go to medical school, they do not train you to make medical advances. They do not train somebody to come up with a new artificial heart or a pacemaker. This some doctor or inventor came up with. When you go to architectural school, they didn't train you how to come up with the most exciting, dynamic, new designs. But not just external designs. There's whole new designs Buckminster Fuller came up with a whole geodesic design, a whole different way of designing buildings that you don't have to have internal beams. And it's not Stam. So Buckminster Fuller came up with geodesic designs, how a building is a totally different way buildings are made, in a way that the weight is distributed totally differently. But he wasn't trained. He just went through the basics. Now, in the school, we're just learning what the body can learn. We're learning what the fingers can learn. But Zadok HaVzavavaz, this is one gift from the Rebbeinu Shalom, that you're going to get gifts from a different place. We are two dimensional. We have a neshama. And the neshama is out of this world, and the neshama is in contact with the Rabban Shalom. So Rabban Shalom says exactly how it works. With your body, you just do the basic instructions. With your body, you follow the basic rules. And then, since you're something else besides your body, there's something much higher than you. And that's really what you are. Not something. That is you. That's your neshama. The neshama is privy to the word of God. And God is kula chidish. God is all new. There's nothing old about God. God is kula chidish because there are bunches of mechadish, betuva, b'chol yom azim reishis. There's nothing the same. There's music in Shemayim, but the music's never the same. There's the creativity, the Bria is never the same. The Borei is never the same. Nothing is new by the Borei. The Rabban Shalom is Mechadesh, Betuva, Bechol, Yom Tam, and Maisav Reishis. So when the more we recognize that there's Neshama, well, certain people get, again, the gift you can get without knowing your Neshama, as he's saying. Chavos was saying that the fact that people in the secular world have Neshama gifts just proves to us that there's things that are coming to us from a different place. That's all just the way of Hashem proving to us the concept. But in a theological sense, what he's saying is the more we are in touch with our neshama, and know that we are neshama, then we are looking at ourselves in a different way, and just as Hashem is unlimited, our neshama is unlimited, our capacity is unlimited. So we can do things that we never even dreamt of, because we never dreamt of who we really are. Because this is the key. Achein ruach hi be'enosh, the ruach is inside man. V'nishmas shadai tevinein, but it's the neshama that comes from God that will give them havana. So, how could it be then that man has two dimensions? So that's the word shaddai. Shaddai is that when God created the world, since Hashem is endless, the world should be endless too. So the Gemara says, Hashem said, die! Hashem said, enough! There's going to be a physical world, and the physical world is finite, and the physical world is limited, die! There's enough! And that's the challenge. The challenge is to discover our neshama in the finite world. So here we have a body which is finite. So hard to believe that you're telling me, this is me. What do I take up over here? How much space do I take over here? I take up 2 feet this way, 6 feet this way, five for ten to be precise, and this much this way, this much this way. You know, a few pounds more, a few pounds less, but we all take up around the same amount of space. A couple of inches more, a couple of inches less, and you're telling me that I am eternal? You're telling me that I'm infinite? You're telling me that I am a chelek leka? Yeah, that was the challenge. Hashem said, die. For my body, he said, enough. So my body is very, very constricted, very narrow, very limited. And the challenge is, don't look at yourself as a body. Look at yourself, that the body is nishma shaddai tevinein. You really are, you're the controller in NASA. That's who you really are. And the body is just a little toy that your job was to play around this toy and guide the coin to the Torah. And that's exactly your challenge. That the body, not to let the body fool you into thinking that's your essence. Your essence is your neshama. When the more we look at ourselves as being a neshama, then our abilities expand with our recognition of what we really are, the abilities that gives the neshama a chance to overpower our lives, overtake our lives, and if we can do much more. Because the neshama has no limit to it. The more that we look at ourselves as a body, the body is limited, so our abilities are limited. This is what the Chovas Levavos is really telling us. It's not stama meditation. This is essential to how we look at ourselves in life. And again, if we would look at ourselves in the Shama, then the pains of the body we'd have a different sense of what the pain is all about. It wouldn't overwhelm us. Our feeling of lack because you don't have enough of the bodily pleasures wouldn't be so acute. We wouldn't feel threatened by other bodies. Other people wouldn't threaten us. We wouldn't compare ourselves to other people. We wouldn't feel so needy because they have more than I do. And every time I pass the house, why couldn't I afford a house of that? Why couldn't I be making that kind of money? Why couldn't I have that kind of a car? Why couldn't I have those kind of children even? Why don't I have that kind of nachas? And why can I dress that kind of, and why can I be as handsome as that guy? And why is my wife as beautiful as this guy's wife? And why are my kids not as good looking as his children? And everything. He goes on vacations. I slave 6 days a week. I'm working so hard. It's only if you view ourselves as a body. All of our tsaras in jealousy and in kin and competitiveness and pain is all because we look at ourselves as a body. If we could look at ourselves as something above the body would be a toy in our eyes. And we would look at things totally differently. We would look at, and we wouldn't be, and another thing is we wouldn't be such a big rush. Because the whole idea of time is always something that's body oriented. It's an earthly thing. It's earthbound. If I'm living in my neshama, if I realize that I am my neshama, that's who I really am. Neshama is above time. Neshama is not in the rush. It's the body that's always in a big rush. Body's in a big rush, always behind, always behind. Never enough time. But you don't have to live like that. The Rav says you don't have to. I mean, the body says you don't live like that. Your neshama is lemalim and azman. Of course, you have to control the body according to time, but it's a different relationship. It's a different relationship to time. And the truth of the matter is that actually, if a person's above time, you have more control over time, actually. If I'm above it, and I realize I'm a neshama, which is eternal, which is lemalim and azman, so the zman doesn't affect me that much. It doesn't have that power over me, and I won't be so harassed all the time, and so such in a rush. And faket, neshama, mamish lives in the present. The neshama lives in the right, whatever it has to do. The neshama is totally focused on what the body has to do. Avad neshama is controlling the body. But the neshama understands that the body, the neshama is coming from infinity. And the neshama understands there's a plan for the body. It's its job of the neshama to guide the body. But the neshama understands the value of each and every moment in the body. The body never is satisfied with the present. It always wants, I want to improve myself, I want to get more. I'm not happy where I am right now. It's never enough. Right now is never good. Even if I'm eating, I'm only eating so I want to finish the meal. So you're in shul, you're davening, I want to get out of here already because I want to go eat lunch. When I'm eating lunch already, I want to get out of here because I want to go to sleep. And then when I go to sleep, I want to get out of here, I'll go learn. But even to learn is like a physical function. I want to take a walk. The body's always a step ahead of itself. It's never satisfied with the present. The body is never, ever satisfied with the present. The body always has another bodily function. Another bodily function. By definition, the body is always moving. It's always rushing. It's always running. It never can live in the present. It's mamasha. It's a slave to itself. That's the Eitzar. The Eitzar says we never have enough time. You never have enough time to daven properly. You never have time to say Asher Yotzeh properly. You never have time to bench properly. You never have time to do any mitzvah properly. You have no time to put your tefillin on properly. You have no time to check your tefillin. You have no time to check your tefillin, even though you have been wearing the same tefillin for 47 years since your bar mitzvah. And they're always going to klop the shanas. But you never have any time. The Eitzar is biggest tools. You never have time. You always have to do the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. You have no time to do this mitzvah. You have no time to learn. You have no time to listen to somebody. Someone's talking to you. You have no time to give them your full attention. Your brain, even if you look, you're standing there, your brain's not there. Your brain's someplace else. That's the body. The body, by definition, is always in a rush. Eternity, every second, if you're living in eternity, every second is an eternity. If you're living in Zman, it's always moving. Zman, it's a flow of time. By definition, the more we're living in the body, time is a flow. If you're living in the neshama, there's time, but time is not flowing because it's eternal. Eternity means, as far, how do we understand eternity? How can I understand eternity? Eternity is such a, what do I do with eternity? It's mind-boggling eternity. What eternity means for us is that every minute is forever. What eternity means for us is that this minute I know is going to be transformed and transformed into forever. So I have to give it forever. If I know that every word I'm saying to you right now, every word of Torah I'm saying to you right now, is going to be with us, you and me, in Shemayim forever. By the way, we're stuck with each other, you know, because the shiur you come to down here, I'm going to give the shiur forever in Shemayim to you. So I just hope you like each other, because we have a big future. We have a big, big, long future together. But in eternity, there's room for a lot of shiurim. It's a simulcast. So the other shiurim you go to, and the shiurim I've gone to, it's no problem. There's room for everything. But we'll be here forever. So I'm not in a rush. Like, I shouldn't be in a rush when I give the shiur. I should speak slowly. Because eternity means, what does eternity mean to me right now? I have no shach of eternity. I do. Because I know that whatever I'm doing, any good thing I'm doing now, to the extent that I know that this is going to be around for eternity, so I will focus on it right now. This is very important. What do you mean? Every word of the shiur is very important. It's going to be around forever. So talking my bodily things, eating, is talking around forever. So I should rush through it. By definition, body, where everything is insignificant, is just mamish, taki, eat, in order to breathe. And you breathe in order to make the metabolism happen. You make the metabolism happen, you have energy. And energy is just your walk. And the walking is just you go to the store to buy some more food. So if you're in the body, nothing has intrinsic value. Everything is taki for the next step. Everything is part of a cycle. Everything is part of the process. So a body, by definition, nothing has intrinsic value. Everything is just a step to go another step and to prepare for another step. By definition, body is all preparatory for next to the next moment. And I'm still suffering the after effects from the past moment. So body, by definition, tak is the hepech of eternity. No individual action and no moment has real value in the body. It's all preparation. It's all part of cycles. It's all cycles. It's all cycles. And the rain is coming down. What is the value of the rain? Oh, it only has a value if it'll percolate down into the earth and make something grow. And the plants will grow. What's the value of plants growing? It's only plants that are growing. Someone will eat them later on. Otherwise, the plants are just going to rot. If someone eats them, what's the purpose of the plant and people eating them? And as I vite. In the world of Zaman and the world of body, nothing has intrinsic value. It's all a preparation for the next step. In the world of the neshama, everything has great value. Oh, because now my neshama is guiding me to eat breakfast. Neshama says, 1 second, your breakfast is mamish ruchnias. You're eating breakfast not to go out and play ball today. You're eating breakfast because every bite, you made a bracha before the food. And as you eat the food, you're chewing it to take out the holy sparks of the Rabbanu Shalom from this food that have to be redeemed. And as you're eating, you're thinking about the Chazdei Hashem. And you're preparing yourself. This is the savata itself is a mitzvah, so that when you bench, the benching will be a benching. So it's a mitzvah to become satisfied with the satisfaction of the eating itself is a mitzvah in itself. It's something eternal. If I can eat, and while I'm eating, I'm so satisfied, Hashem, I'm not jealous of people who are eating filet mignon today. I'm not jealous of people who are eating or have the most luxurious cruises on the carnival lines. Glot, kosher, and they're stuffing themselves with kosher lobsters and with the kosher paste of bacon. And it's all kosher today. Hashem, I'm very happy with my dry bread, and I'm so satisfied because my gift from you. So every bite I take, and every crunch, every chew, every time I chew, it's mamish, this is eternity. Because I see the eternal value of it. And Shemayim, this breakfast will be there forever. So if my neshama is running the show, I'm mamished, focused on the here and now. So this is what the Chavetz Chaim is saying. So therefore he says like this. So Chavetz Chaim continues. He says, okay, now let us apply this to the practical world. He says, you know, let's be honest, he says. The Yiddishkeit has many demands of us. The Torah makes many demands of us. One demand is that our body should do certain things. You got to put on tefillin, and you got to put on tzitzis, and we've got to eat matzah, and we've got to do this and that. There's plenty of mitzvahs to do. Those are easy. But he says, you know, the chayvus alavavus, the mitzvahs mutolas ala leiv, ala matzpun, this, he says, is really beyond human capacity. Believing in God, where is God? V'hachlerech kamoicha, love your neighbor like yourself. Come on, tell me if that's not the hardest mitzvah in the whole Torah. To love your neighbor like yourself. Tell me it's not the hardest mitzvah not to have nekama, not to take revenge, not resent somebody. This guy, this person, I'm supposed to be nice to this person. How can I be nice to this person? The person's been so nasty to me. The person ignores me. The person says nasty things to me. I'm supposed to not take nekama from him? I'm supposed to feel in my heart, I'm supposed to still like him? And I'm not supposed to want to take revenge on him? Very hard. He says it's really, and this is called the conscience. The mitzvah is on the heart and the conscience. Is lamala mikdash ladam? It's impossible. How do you come to achterech gemoicha? How do you do that? How do you not despise people? And how? What kinds of other think about what other mitzvahs that are unconscious? Certainly, what the Gemara says, for instance, not to miskabe the kolam chaveiro, not to rejoice that someone else has a failure. I feel so good. Really, I feel so good. People have failures because I'm a failure. And you know, I feel great when people have failures because I know misery loves company. So you know, it's not so bad when people have failures because I happen to like it. I feel very bad about it. I feel lousy. I really feel very low because I know I shouldn't be feeling that way. But you know, when other people make mistakes, in my heart secretly I rejoice because good, I'm not the only one. It's very hard to break that. And the Rambam says this is one of the Chavdal Dvorim of Akhmas at Tshuva, one of the 24 things that hold us back from doing real tshuva is miskabe the kolin chaveiru, that I find myself, I get honor out of someone else's disgrace. That a little bit in my heart I say, oh, it's okay, and that's not so bad. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad when somebody, that's part of the fun of Lashon Hara, because we feel we look better, that I'm not the only person who just lost a lot of money. Well, I lost a lot of money, so I feel misery loves company. I feel good that he lost money. I'm not the only idiot who invested in high-tech stocks and lost their pants. You know, it's not fun to walk around without pants. So when I see a lot of other people without pants, it's much nicer. I really enjoy it. Life without pants is rough alone. If it's a colony, then it's much geschmackier. So I must confess that my conscience, I got a twinge of conscience, but says the Chavos Vavos, don't feel so bad. It's really above human capacity to be so moral, to be so decent, to be so nice, and to be nice to Baal Chai, to Mephaitse, and only comes along. I'm supposed to honor him, and I'm supposed to comfort the poor person, and make him feel good. It's such a hard thing. How do you make them feel good? Somehow, most people that come to the poor people, we feel very threatened by them. We feel overwhelmed by them. They want something about it. What do they want from us? To feel really that I really have compassion for somebody, to really care, to go visit somebody in the hospital and really care about their sickness, and not just do it because it's a social obligation that has to be discharged, especially an obligation on rabbis, that it's their job, but to do it with real compassion, to really care, to really be mevaker chaylam, to look into their situation. What can I do to help? Can I really help you? He says, chayvus levavis, the chayvus on the heart and the conscience are lamal mikaychay. Because how can we be Pirish? My taiva is Bahamias. I'm a behemoth. A mensch is an animal in human guise. We are animals in human skin. Until to the point where I can be Kaivish my nature, that overcome my animal nature, my selfish nature, my instinctive selfishness, the irasness to Isaac, in order to bridle in the horse in me. The horse in me. So therefore the verse is like this. The body, that's possible. The body you can bridle and harness. If you do the body as much as you can, you do the basics. You harness your body. You go to the bigger chaylam, and you give the tzedakah, and you go through the motions that at least you try your best to act that way. If you do that as much as you can, then the Rabbanei Shalom will open up for you Madregas Ruchnias, new levels of Ruchnias. You get to Madregas that beyond your capacity, beyond your comprehension. Because then what will happen is that the Rabbanei Shalom, until now you're only serving Hashem with your Chitzainias, with your external self. But in the schus that you did your best with the Chitzainias, Hashem will give you a gift of Pnimius, of inner value, inner strength. And that's what David Melon says, until him pay Dalid, Levi Ubisari, Yiranu El Elchoy, my heart and my flesh shall sing forth to the living God. But again, it's what that really means is the way to grow into that. This is the gift, he says. But the gift comes from the fact that I have another dimension of myself, my pnimius. Pnimius is my neshama. So the funny thing, we talk about neshama being pnimius inside. But the truth of the matter is that neshama is not in my inside. Neshama is above me, actually. That's my pnimius means what's hidden. Pnimius means what's covered up, as opposed to my chitzanius, what I can see. So my pnimius, that's all my inside, really what we call inside, just for the sake of definition, is really not inside of me. My real essence is above me. We have to look at ourselves, if they want to change the word from pnimius to lamala. The right word is my mila. It's my ruchnius. It's my celestial self. I have to identify myself as being more than what my body sees, and the more I identify myself as more than my body, I'll be able to do more. I'll be more. I'll, that's the real me. And he gives a very partial marshal, this whole concept. So we sort of raised this concept to a very high level today, but just to keep it simple, says the Chazal above us, the simple marshal, and such a simple marshal, is a person who has an orchard, and he planted beautiful trees in the orchard, so he can get the fruits. Now the guy is trying to get fruits. So I have an orchard. I gotta make the fruits come. You know what? There's nobody in the world, not even Johnny Appleseed, that can make fruits grow from a tree. So there's a lot of apple trees in our neighborhood. You can hold on to the apple tree the whole day. You can massage it. You can talk to it. You can kiss it. You can hug it. You can do what you want. The fruits are gonna grow by themselves. You can't make fruits grow. All you can do is you can get the weeds out from around. You can prune some of the bad branches off the tree, the non-productive ones. You can prune away the bad things. You can get rid of the bad leaves, get rid of the bad branches. But fruits, No human being can make a fruit grow. Fruits is from Hashem. Nobody's ever grown a fruit. I mean, you can't make a fruit. It just grows from the tree. It grows from the tree. You can throw a ball. You can drive a car. You can manufacture bottles. You can manufacture cars. But you can't make fruits grow. Fruits have to grow from a process of growth that is a botanical function that no human being can make fruits grow. You just can't make fruits grow. They have to grow out of the tree. The tree makes fruits grow. So he says that's our avodah with our bodies. We are a body, but the real fruit comes from Hashem. All we can do is weed. We have to weed away the bad midos. We have to weed away bad behaviors. We have to be self-disciplined. We have to protect ourselves. You can protect the fruit tree from frost. If you're in Florida, the oranges are going to get frosted, so they put bags over it when the frost. They do other. They put water over they freeze water on the orange, and actually the frozen water on the orange is an insulation against deeper frost. Believe it or not, so you can do all kinds of things to protect the fruit, maybe protect the tree, but you can't make fruit grow. Fruit must grow from the tree. Says the Chavos Levavos. Everything we do is weeding, is fertilizing, mezabel, is pruning, but the fruit is a gift from Hashem. That's the derech avodah. So we have to do the best our bodies can do and recognize that the fruit is a gift from the Rebbe Hashem. It comes from a different place. It comes from a different power. It's a different power. It comes from a different place. So the Ovid Hashem has to do l'fi yecholto. And then the Rebbe Hashem will send them gifts, peiros, l'malam yecholos. Of course, the best thing to do is to daven to the Rebbeinu Shlom. And you have to daven. And he says, there's Tama Maimori Chazal, which he concludes with. And he says, for instance, it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Mekayim Es HaTorah Mi'ayni, Soif L'Kayim Mi'ayshir. In other words, he says, reward is guaranteed. What he really boils down to is really Schar V'Oynish. Reward is something that we can't create the reward. It has to come from another place. So that's Chazal Seif, Mekayim Torah from poverty. In the end, you have to have patience, you mekayim it from wealth. And Chazal say, he says, this is the pshat in the Brisa of Pinchas ben Yoyah, the famous Brisa of Pinchas ben Yoyah, the word of Zorah, Daf Chof, and then the Sota, Torah, maybe the Maisa, maybe the Zahirus brings to Zrizus to Precious is the Nikias, Nikias is the Horah, Torah the Chasidus. Chassidus is the greatest thing. Meaning to say that a person, when he starts in the Derech Hashem, there'll always be a gift from the Rebbeinu Shalom to come to the next level. So what he's trying to say is that that's the chiluk between the bodily pursuits and spiritual pursuits. In bodily pursuits, I have to eat now, so I have to cause that I should go and work some more. I have to work some more, so I should earn some money. I have to earn some money, so I should buy some more. I have to do everything. In Ruchni, it's not like that. In Ruchni, is Avadah, there's growth and progression. But it works like this. He says, I learned Torah. Torah Mevilei Maisa means to say that in the schus that I learned as much Torah as I could, Hashem will give me the ability and the energy to do Maisim. Maisim, when I start doing Maisim Torah to the best of my ability, Hashem will give me something called Zahirus. Now, it's very hard to be a Rei Shemayim, Zahirus. To go check for Toilayim, check for bugs. It's very hard to be zealous. Every morning I have to check my tittas to make sure my tittas aren't puzzled. It's hard to be careful. We're very uncareful people. We're very sloppy by nature. And I have to make sure that my tefillin around my head all the time straight. And I have to make sure all the time that when I'm davening, and that I'm saying the words properly, I'm pronouncing my words properly. But in the schus that I did the mice of davening, and I say, Hashem, I want to daven really good, Hashem will give me the ability of zahirus. He'll help me have care to daven properly. I shouldn't garble the word. I shouldn't daydream during davening. I should think what I'm doing. And the zahirus brings the zrizus. And zrizus is precious. And the kiyus and chasidus. The point is he's saying that in ruchnius, there are new levels, but the levels come to us as a gift. We try our best on whatever we can do, what we're capable of now, and Hashem gives us a gift. In Gashmi, it's nothing as a gift. I'm just working to do the next step. I'll do the next thing. In Ruchnias, there's gifts in the Rebbeinu Shlom. So therefore, a person should dream of doing great things. And the main thing is to recognize that we are a Nishma Shaddai. To know what we really are. We are really a Neshama, we're not a body.
I'm a neshama which is hovering and controlling the body, and that's because we'll be living in the spiritual world, and the more we live in the spiritual world, the more Hashem will shower us with His spiritual matanas, with His gifts. And just to end it off on a Shavuos note, that's exactly what B'nai Yisrael said at HaSinai, Naaseh v'nishma. The Yidden said, Naaseh, we'll do as best as we can. Hashem, whatever it is you want us to do, we'll do. And later on we'll hear. Now, so the Goyim said to the Yidden, but you're crazy. How could you say you'll do if you don't even know what it is? He said, you'll do. Maybe God tell you to climb Mount Everest. Now today Mount Everest is nothing. 100 people climbed this year. Including one blind man just climbed Mount Everest. Being blind and climb Mount Everest. But when I was a kid, in 1953, I'm really old, when Edmund Hillary and Norgay Tenzing did it the first time, boy, that was news. Mount Everest, wow. Like, who can do Mount Everest? So if someone came over to me, if Edmund Hillary came over and said, Rabbi, I need your help on something, I say, Edmund, my friend, whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Nasa. And then I'll hear later on what you want me to do. He says, Rabbi, I want you to climb Mount Everest. Boy, was I a sugar. How can I say that? How can I say this guy? He needed a Sherpa guide. So he figured if a Sherpa can do it, a rabbi can do it too. So he comes over and says, Rabbi, you're my guide. So Rabbi, I want you to take me up Mount Everest. Well, was that stupid of me to say that the Hillary, that I'm going to go. Whatever you say, I'm with you wherever you want to go. But I should tell Chielich, wherever you go, I go. Mount Everest! Meshuggah, freezing, horrible. Most people die. Oh, no way. So the Yidden is such a crazy thing. That's what it was. That when a person says to the Rebbe, I'll do the best I can, later I'll listen. And you know what? I'm sure whatever you'll tell me to do, you'll give me siyata nishmaya. That's the whole word of Nasa v'nishma. That, how can you say nishma? Like the guy said to the Yidden, he said to him, I'm a paziza. He said, you stupid, rash people, you're in a rush, you Jews. He said, we're in a rush. You're I'm a paziza. You put your mouth before your ears. You said Nasa before you hear it. What God really wants of you. Maybe He wants amazing things to you. You think you keep Shabbos. It's so hard to keep Shabbos. Say, it became easy. It's very hard once upon a time. What's hard today? There's a lot of other things that are hard today. To be a mensch, there's a lot of other things hard today. To get rid of the gashmias is very hard today. It's very hard to be an emissary yid today. To know we have in the Shama. Anyway, it's hard. Yiddishkeit, a lot of hard things about Yiddishkeit. Believe it or not. The modern world's been saying Yiddishkeit's a cinch, you know? So it's easy. It's not. But you know what? The Yidden said, they knew the Chavis Levavas. Nasa, we'll do as much as we can. Then we'll hear. If it looks too hard, no problem. Hashem promises a gift. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a gift because you're more than what you see. You're not just a body. For the body, it might look like what you said you'll do is too much. For the body to go ahead and learn Gan Shas, for the body to go ahead and be a loving, caring, decent person who really cares about people, to really care, to really love somebody, outside yourself, that includes even your children, our children, our wives. We don't even love them as we should love them. We're so selfish in ourselves. To really love somebody is very, very, very difficult. But you know what? Hashem says, I'll give you a gift. I'll give you a gift of real love. I'll give you a gift of real compassion, of real care, of being a mensch, of being decent, of being moral, not to be so greedy and not to be so jealous. It's a gift. It's talking beyond human capacity. You say, Naseh, you do the best you can do, and then you do the kefiyah chalto, you do what you can, and I will give you a gevalta gift, because you're more than what you see, because you're more than the body, you're in the neshama. And if you recognize that, then you can say, Naseh v'nishma. The neshama has no end, so the capacity of the neshama has no end, and it controls the body ultimately. If you say that, then we have everything. And if you like, I hope to see you tonight for some more shiurim at 12 o'clock.